From KCBW News in Salt Lake City, I'm Jeff Robinson. The end of an era has arrived for a public radio program that began as a college radio show. Now The Sound of Young America, which airs Thursday nights at 7 p.m. here on KCBW, is becoming Bullseye. So what's behind the change and what can listeners expect of the new show? I spoke with host Jesse Thorne. Well, Jesse, when it comes to revamping your show, how come you're going against the old adage, if it ain't broke, don't fix it?
Well, I kind of wonder how not broke it was. I mean, the show, I think the show is tremendous. The real question for us was, is the name broke? I named the show The Sound of Young America when I was 19 years old. And in college at UC Santa Cruz. And the joke of naming the show The Sound of Young America when I was one of three guys trekking a mile and a half in the fog, in the dark, across the campus of UC Santa Cruz to get to the college radio station because it was so early that the campus bus wasn't even running yet to get to our college radio show, and then saying, this is The Sound of Young America. It was a lot clearer then than it is now when we're on public radio stations around the country. And I get emails that say, you're not actually The Sound of Young America. And I have to email people back and say, yes, I'm aware that I'm not actually The Sound of Young America. I didn't intend it literally. So I think that for many years we've had the feeling that maybe we shouldn't have a joke in the name of our show. Because whenever you have a joke in the name of something, you are essentially, all jokes depend on context, and all names should not depend on context. They should be something that is at least value neutral for people who are coming upon something cold. So we wanted to have a name for the show that was, that at least wouldn't upset people who hadn't heard it yet.
So what goes into the name Bullseye then?
Well, we were looking for something. I'll tell you, we had never changed the name before, both because I think people who really loved the show got the joke and liked that it was kind of a silly, faux, grandiose name. And they liked the idea of a public radio show with a joke name, since most public radio shows' names are so earnest, you know? But I think we had tried for so many years to come up with something that we actually liked and failed. And we brainstormed ideas, like hundreds and hundreds of names. And essentially what we did was we just said, okay, in January, we're just going to do it. We're just going to change the name of the show because this is too much of a problem. And if we don't come up with something good, we're just going to change it to something bad. So we better come up with something good. And it was actually Roman Mars, who's a great public radio producer who produces a wonderful show that's available on podcast called 99% Invisible. It's a short show about design, who's been working with us, who came up with the name. And as soon as I heard it, I thought, wow, that's great. Because what I like about Bullseye is that it is, I mean, for one thing, it's not a joke. So I don't have to worry about anyone not getting the joke. So that's the baseline. but the thing that I like about it is it has a certain, I don't know, a certain sort of dynamism, a certain kineticism. You know what I mean? There's a little action, a little verve, a little energy. Mm-hmm. And it has a little bit of that sense of kind of fun that our show has. And the other thing that I like about it is that I think that what Bullseye is about as a show ultimately is the good stuff in popular culture. It's about not the stuff that people are talking about, not the stuff that's the most in the news, not the stuff that's the most controversial, not the stuff that's the youngest, not even the stuff necessarily that's the coolest, but the stuff that is the best. And I liked the idea of being on target. I like the idea of the right thing. And I think Bullseye expresses that idea in a nice way.
And so as the show gets a more adult name, so to speak, is the format of the show or the guests changing as well? I mean, this is about more than just the name, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the guests will be substantially the same. I mean, I think that our guest booking philosophy has always been to book people who we think are doing amazing work that is also fun in some way. I mean, I think that you probably won't find, you know, Lars von Trier on our show, even when he was making, you know, Breaking the Waves. As amazing as Breaking the Waves may have been, it's not very fun. But other than that, I think anything that's fun and amazing, the creator might show up on our show. And so that will remain substantially the same. But the format is changing a little bit. I mean, I think that what we wanted to do was really, really clarify for our audience what we were doing. I think that because so many public radio shows are news shows that are casting as broad a net as possible, I think that a lot of folks interpreted what we were doing as that, as sort of like, here is a representative sample of the world of entertainment. And in fact, what we're doing is basically the opposite of that. What we're trying to do is offer a curated selection of the world of entertainment. This is a very specific editorial grouping. You know what I mean? And so the new stuff that we're doing on the show, and there is some new stuff on the show, is all moves towards making that clear. You know, I mean, we're opening every show with picks, and we're working with some really amazing people like the critics at the AV Club in Chicago, the Onion's AV Club, who are some of my favorite critics in the country, and Andrew Nas, who writes the amazing hip-hop blog Cocaine Blunts. And I just talked with Mark Frauenfelder from the sort of geek culture blog Boing Boing. And we've got some video game people. And I was just talking with Ta-Nehisi Coates from The Atlantic. All these different culture critics are going to be offering picks right up at the top of the show. We've got all this sort of original comedy and stuff like that we were doing on the show, but more of it. And then I'm going to be offering picks in a segment called The Outshot at the end of the show. And, you know, in our first episode, I picked this song by a Bay Area rapper called E-40. And the song is called, well, I can't really say the name of the song. it's called To Heck With. But the word that I'm substituting to heck with starts with the letter F. So I think it's going to be cool. It's sort of like a combination of a guide to what's worth your time and a sort of in-depth look at things that that are worth your time. You know, I mean, I was having this conversation yesterday with somebody, and our first episode of Bullseye has this interview with some of the cast members of this show that's airing on Masterpiece called Downton Abbey, which is this costume drama that's set basically at the dawn of modernity, right at the cusp of World War I. And it's really amazing. I'm not a big costume drama guy, but it is a fantastic show. And I just thought, you know, part of the premise of our show is essentially, you know, without being too morbid, all of our days are numbered, right? Like, we only have so much time on Earth. And at the end of it all, would you rather have spent your time watching Downton Abbey, an amazing show that actually, you know, reveals something about the human condition and makes you laugh and cry, or watching Storage Wars, a show about guys who bid on the stuff that's inside of storage compartments?
And Jesse, along with the launch of Bullseye and the end of Sound of Young America, you've made every episode of the Sound of Young America available on your website at MaximumFun.org, amounting to about 500 shows or 15 gigabytes of data. Well, what are some of the fondest memories that people might be able to sift through if they go to your website there?
Oh, wow. I mean, the one that stands out is, you know, I mean, I've been this. It's like my whole life, you know, it's my whole adult life. Really. I mean, I've been doing it since I was 19. When I was in college, we did this show with this guy called Andrew WK, who's been on several times. He's a rock and roll star. He now hosts a show on Cartoon Network called Destroy, Build, Destroy. It's this amazing game show where, like, adolescent kids, they take something like a car or something, and they explode it with a bomb. They blow it up in the desert, and then they build something out of it, and they race them, and then the winner gets to blow up the loser's thing. But anyway, he's this amazing rock and roll guy, and at the time, my youngest brother was, I think, 8 or 9 years old, and he had this band called Total Annihilation. I know it sounds like I'm making this up, but I'm not. And he was visiting me at college, and my brother Brendan is a real, I mean, he's a real piece of work. And so I just brought him in the studio on the show because, I mean, he's such an amazing kid. He still is. He's 15 now. And 16 now, I think. And so I brought him on. I figured, well, Andrew WK is a nice guy. Maybe I'll do a segment where I play one of Brendan's Total Annihilation songs, which are these punk rock songs recorded by a 9-year-old, for Andrew WK, and see what Andrew WK thinks. And I just thought, I have no idea what this is going to be, but you know, we're on the radio. We were on the radio live at the time, and I just thought it'll be something. You know, it'll have to be something. And at least I'll be taking care of my brother.
Yeah.
Because I was responsible for taking care of my brother. And so I played this song, and I was just hoping that Andrew WK wouldn't say that it stunk. You know what I mean? And Andrew WK listened to it really patiently, and he thought about it for a second. And the first thing he said to Brendan was, "Hey, Brendan, is it okay if I learn something from your song?" And he said, there was this vocal technique that you used, and he did an impression of it, and I really love that, and I wonder if I can use that sometime. And Brendan, I mean, it sounds corny to say it, but I nearly started crying. Hmm. Because I love my brother.
Yeah.
And it was just the kindest thing. It was just a moment of just monumental kindness on Andrew's part to have the sensitivity to not only say something banal like that was a great job, but to think to ask a kid for a favor. You know what I mean? And the idea of an adult humbling himself before a kid that way was really powerful for me. Uh-huh. I've also had the chance to meet, I mean, I get to pick who comes on the show. So I've met many amazing personal heroes. I mean, talking on the phone to Terry Gilliam from Monty Python and the amazing film director, my hands were shaking when I dialed the phone, I have to admit. But, that was a real highlight for me.
And finally, Jesse, you know, part of the charm of The Sound of Young America was knowing that the show was recorded out of your house in Los Angeles, live on tape, as you say every episode, and kind of imagining you just, you know, sitting there with a blanket over your head or whatever it is you do to record the show. Will Bullseye retain that same charm?
Well, I hope it retains that same charm. It will certainly retain that same locale. I have no intention of getting an actual studio, if that's what you're asking. I am in fact right now sitting in the top floor of my house in my office, talking into a microphone at my desk, and among other things, like here in my office, I'm looking at not the sort of acoustic paneling of an actual studio. I'm looking at my bookshelves and some concrete deer. And a painting that I stole from my mother's house, and a club chair, a stack of leather suitcases, and out the window I can see my neighbor's trees. So this is, and just on the other side of my door I can hear my dogs barking at the fact that my producer just came in. So I think it'll be substantially the same in that department.
All right. We've been speaking with Jesse Thorne, host of Bullseye. You can hear the premiere episode of Bullseye tonight at 7 p.m. It's formerly The Sound of Young America. Well, Jesse, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. And thanks to everybody who listens on KCPW. It's really an honor to be on the station.